Cheers, Bears fans. This is Bears Barroom Radio, and I am Aldo Gandia. And today we have the second of a three-part series we're doing on mock drafts. Last week we had Bears Barroom analyst Shane Marsall and Jose Cotto do a complete first-round draft. And today it's going to be Draft Dr. Phil Latoshin, co-founder of Bears Hour Live and our special analyst at the Bears Barroom. We'll talk more about his doctor's office later in the podcast. He and I are going to go through the first round mock, but first I want to begin by welcoming Phil and asking him about his newest endeavor. He just launched his new website called BearsHourLive.com. Phil, tell us what visitors can expect when visiting your new website.
Listen, all the credit goes to my colleague, Lauren Cox, who generated the idea of housing all the multimedia information that we've been putting together for Bears Hour Live, as well as cross-breeding with Bears Barroom, Aldo. Credit to you, too.
Thank you.
Just a place to house the top fives, our big boards, all our film breakdowns, aside from YouTube, you know, just have a place where we can call home. Simple, it's informative, and if you're a Bears fan or a draft fan, it gives you a place to go check out and get at the top fives that I come out with every year and talk football and talk shop. So it's just something that really just came up in conversation with me and Lauren Cox at Cox Sports One out there. Shout out to him. And it really has taken a life of itself, and I'm proud of that. And I'm proud to be partnering with you, doing what we continue to do there. And I got to say, just I had a great time following the Shane Marsall and Jose Cotto mock Twitter draft. That was entertaining for me. I was at the gym and sitting in the sauna, and funny story, my phone got so hot it gave you that signal that it was too hot, so I missed the Bears pick. So those were hot picks.
And then I
caught up in the car when I left. But you know, I'm excited about BearsHourLive.com. I'm excited about our show and doing this stuff with you. Informing the fan is the goal, and talking football is really the passion.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple of questions about your association with BearsBarroom.com, and that continues. Phil continues to do his series at Doctor's Office. He's a regular guest on this podcast, and who knows what we'll do in the future together. We've talked about doing a weekly show during the season so we can analyze the game maybe on Monday morning. So we'll have a lot more on that. But I want to urge all of our listeners to go over to BearsHourLive.com, Phil and Lauren's new website. As he said, it houses all of this great material, all of the podcasts, all of the videos that they've done, his top five players at each position, which you can study and prepare yourself for the draft. And then also, you've got your tape series. The next one is going to be one that I definitely will not miss. You've got Patrick Mahomes, who is one of my favorite quarterbacks coming out of this draft, versus another excellent quarterback in my mind, DeShone Kizer. Both you and Lauren are going to analyze these two guys. That should be a lot of fun. And that comes out later this week, Phil?
That comes out tomorrow. I'm fired up about that. It's going to be fun. If you haven't seen the trailer to get you fired up, I think you'll enjoy the analysis and the breakdown of the two, you know, afterthought quarterbacks. Some thought that Kizer was going to be in the top three early on. It's funny how these chessboards move, Aldo, with these players.
Yeah.
There's no more games being played, but everyone's moving. And ultimately, you look at these two dynamic football players, one with a huge arm, one with huge size, and a very good arm. And really, it's exciting to see them. I'm right there with you, though, not to be a spoiler, but there's something about Patrick Mahomes that gets my blood pressure boiling.
Man, I'm just super impressed with him, and beyond what we see on tape, and clearly he's got some issues with his mechanics, but what goes on the sidelines and in the tape room and as a leader, Everything that I hear about the guy is top notch. And well, we'll talk about the mock draft in a few minutes here and see where Mahomes goes. But he's a guy I wouldn't mind at all. If he landed with the Chicago Bears, he would be a perfect backup for a season or two behind Glennon, and then step in there and assume the starter role. He could, his ceiling to me is anywhere between Jay Cutler and Aaron Rodgers. To me, that's where I see this guy, because of what he can do improvising with the ball. His arm, sometimes he's got some accuracy issues, but man, I'm falling more and more in love with this guy with each week that passes by.
Listen, I'm right there with you. The ceiling and the sky is the limit with that kid. I've been preaching that. We had a Bears Barroom podcast, and I can't emphasize this enough. Kid is a fabulous football player, and sometimes if you continuously see something happen over and over again, then mechanics aren't necessarily a cause for concern. And with Mahomes, he's delivering dime after dime after dime. It's like at one point you got to say, okay, it might not look pretty, but it's getting to exactly where it needs to be. And that's where I think a lot of these guys get overanalyzed.
Great point. All right, let's start with our mock draft here. And I want to spend a good portion of the show talking about the Bears pick at number 3. But I want to go 1 through 32, and we'll see where we are after the first several picks. And we might have to breeze through the bottom 15, 20 so picks. And let's spend some time talking at the top of the draft. The very first pick of the draft, we know, goes to the Cleveland Browns. I've been doing some research on them. That's a very interesting team in that they've got heading that operation there. They've got John D. Podesta, who is this Ivy League graduate who is into analytics. If you saw Moneyball, he's almost like that character in Moneyball with Jonah Hill, the movie about the Oakland Athletics. And in fact, D. Podesta worked for 5 different baseball teams over a period of 2 decades, and the Browns brought him in last year to act as this research chief strategy officer, is what they call him. And so he doesn't really know anything at all about football or football players, but what he's bringing is a strategy to the team, and we've already seen it implemented in that they are piling up draft picks after draft picks after draft picks. They've got 22 over the next 2 seasons, and over this 3-year period of last year, this year, and next year, they will have had the most draft picks ever in for an NFL team since the league went to a 7-round draft. So that's their strategy. They realize it's can be a really hit and miss proposition for the NFL draft, but they're going to increase their chances of selecting players. So having said that, Phil, I'm going to ask you, who are you thinking the Browns will select in that first pick? And do you think that there's a chance that they might even trade down to add even more picks to the 11 that they already have this season?
Well, there's definitely a chance, Aldo, that they could open the phone lines, because when you're looking at this draft, there's one guy that's a generational elite pass rusher, and that's Myles Garrett of Texas A&M. In this mock, I don't open the phone lines. I just run up to the podium with my 22 picks. I look at this football player, Myles Garrett, going to the Cleveland Browns. You know, here's a team that actually traded for Brock Osweiler to gain another pick. So you're not off the cuff here, so to speak. A little Bobo or Steve from Florida commentary there that they could possibly trade back again to gain more picks, more opportunities, more swings at the bat. So, but I'm going with who I believe is a absolute baby Julius Peppers with more of an edge and more of a motor. This guy has a very high ceiling at 6'4", 272 pounds, and that's Myles Garrett. Elite edge rusher, explosiveness, fluid movement. It looks like an NBA two guard or power small forward in his movement ability, but his physicality at the point of attack is tremendous. For Bears Hour Live, I do a series of videos. All my top players are getting a highlight video done by me. This guy's video, I could have done for about, it could have been a half hour long highlight video that I cut down to 2 minutes because he's so impressive. I mean, there's hardly any weaknesses in his game. And to think, I know he's the consensus number one pick, and I'm right there with the consensus this year in Myles Garrett to the Cleveland Browns.
Hard to argue with that. I've got Garrett going to the Browns too. Phil, I see Garrett's potential as being that of a DeMarcus Ware. Do you think that's a fair comparison?
You know what? I think he's more physical than DeMarcus Ware in the run game. One of the things that really impressed me was his ability to point of attack, be aggressive, extend arms, and look for the football and find it. Now, DeMarcus Ware, obviously, is a great football player, maybe a Hall of Famer, arguably, probably. But this guy, I believe, does more in the run game than DeMarcus did. And I believe, I look at him like Julius Peppers' baby, just a more angry guy, Aldo. I feel as though that kind of force you're getting, that kind of power and movement. If Julius really, really wants to dominate on a Sunday, he could. And it's just unfortunate that he decides a lot of the times that he just doesn't.
Well, I hear you. I do see that similarity now that you bring it up with Julius Peppers. That is going to be an interesting pick. I do think, though, that the Browns will be working the phones and that they might try to trade down. I think this is a really difficult draft for teams trading down, though, because of the level of talent. You know, I haven't really decided, you know, how big that block is of tier two players, because I would put Myles Garrett at tier one, and then that tier two player, man, there's got to be at least 15 to 20 players, and I just find it, I just think it's going to be difficult for teams to trade down because there's so much depth in this draft, but we'll see. I wouldn't put it past the Browns to trade down. They've been a bit unpredictable, but the one predictable thing that they've been doing is just accumulating draft picks. All right, let's go to the second pick of the first round, and that goes to the San Francisco 49ers. Phil, who do you have there?
I have the San Francisco 49ers sprinting up to the clock. Once again, defensive line pass rush rules the day and selecting Solomon Thomas, Stanford, 6'3", 273 pounds. Again, Aldo, this is probably my favorite, like, heart-to-heart player in this draft. I saw this kid back in November. I said, this kid's an elite football player that could dominate in the NFL as he grows. He's got the strength. He's got the build. He's got the tenacity. His motor is nonstop. He's so powerful and explosive out of his stance. I mean, fluid athlete with tremendous hands and explosion with those hands to get to the quarterback. He also has value in that, you know, I'm 1AB with these two football players up at the top of the draft. It's unfortunate the Bears aren't up there with them because it would be a definite difficult conversation. But this guy could play 4-3 and 3-4 defensive end and outside linebacker. He can shift down, play that three technique at nickel or defensive end and rush the passer there. The violence that he brings, the ability to disengage, makes him such a value. I don't see a tweener here. I see a football player. The only thing tweening is his teeth probably as he's going to the quarterback.
You know, I love this player too. And when people talk about him being a tweener, I don't think they're taking into account that the NFL, this is the 21st century NFL. I'm not sure there are tweeners anymore. I think football coaches like tweeners because of their versatility. And that's something that Solomon Thomas himself talked about. when he was asked about his size and whether he was a tweener and stuff. He said, you know, being a tweener gives me the flexibility of playing 4-3, 3-4, playing different positions. And that's the type of football player that coaches are looking for. They want versatility. They want guys that can play on the left side of the line, the right side of the line, who can drop back and play linebacker, who can play the defensive line, who can do all sorts of things. And Thomas can do all of those things physically. Plus, he is so damn smart. Kid is from Stanford. He knows football inside out. He has got a passion for the game. He's not distracted by off-the-field influences. This guy is going to be really special. Now, having said that, I do not have him going to the San Francisco 49ers. I instead have your guy, Phil, Deshaun Watson. And the reason for that is because a lot of people have forgotten that John Lynch, the new general manager of the 49ers, he started off at Stanford. He went to Stanford as a quarterback. So he knows the value of the position. The guy that he hired to be his top player personnel guy, Martin Mayhew, who was with the Detroit Lions for several years, making draft picks for them as their general manager, his very first draft pick was Matthew Stafford. I think the 49ers signed Brian Hoyer as a bridge quarterback, and a lot of people are speculating, well, he's going to be the bridge quarterback for Kirk Cousins when he's a free agent and the 49ers go after him. No, I think they're going to go with the young quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who of all of the quarterbacks coming out is the guy that's ready the fastest to get into prime time because of all the key games that he's played in the NFL. I think he's got some shortcomings, but he'll have Hoyer there to help him. He'll have the great coaching of Kyle Shanahan. I think this makes perfect sense. I think Deshaun Watson is going to be the first quarterback off the board, and he's going to go to the 49ers. And I know that Phil, when it happens, Phil is going to be throwing stuff at the screen because he loves Deshaun Watson. And the question is, Phil, is that who you have going to number three for the Chicago Bears?
Card is in, and the Bears are running to the podium to get their face of the franchise, Aldo. Obviously, that's Solomon Thomas going to the San Francisco 49ers. The Bears take our guy, Deshaun Watson, Clemson. Listen, there's something in my soul of souls. I've compassionately said this on Bears Barroom Radio. I'll say it again for our mock. This is a tremendous leader of men and a winner. That is the cherry on top of what his pocket presence, his throws, his anticipation. He doesn't panic. If you loved Marcus Mariota coming out, then I like Deshaun Watson better than Mariota. That's how highly I feel this football player. There were questions about his size. He wasn't going to be 6'3". He was closer to 6'1". He proved all these things wrong. He went to the combine, did everything he needed to do, despite the knocks they put on him. Now the Chicago Bears have a quarterback. And what's to say that he doesn't go into camp like a Russell Wilson did when the Seattle Seahawks signed Matt Flynn to a huge deal, like Dak Prescott did with the Dallas Cowboys? To say they're not ready, to say they can't do it, is a player's dream, a great player's dream. And anytime the pressure's on, Deshaun Watson has stepped up to the challenge. And I mean, this kid could do it all. There is adequate velocity on his football. I know that was a big conversation, and frame rates by what's his name over there?
Ben Albright, I believe.
Albright's frame rate philosophy, all of it coming together, has one little caveat for me. This guy is a football player. He will come in and lead the Chicago Bears. Kyle Long came out confessing his disappointment in himself for lack of leadership. Well, Kyle, worry no more, because I feel like this guy comes in and doesn't want to learn from Glennon. He wants to compete with Glennon and will step up to the challenge as a dual threat weapon near the red zone. He will give the Chicago Bears a new look and a new feel. The chapter from Jay Cutler to Deshaun Watson will be one with which we will all remember. And what better way to keep the fan base focused on Ryan Pace and this football team than getting a franchise quarterback on the roster?
Phil, I'm going to make an admission here that every time you make an argument for something, boy, I really start to doubt my own opinion if it differs. I think to myself, man, this guy would make a really good lawyer or something. You make a really good case for Deshaun Watson. My concerns about him do have to do with his the velocity of his throws. He reminds me a little bit of Matt Leinart, the USC quarterback, and the offense that he ran was, you know, was not NFL conducive. A lot of short throws. I saw the tape series that you did, which again you can find, listeners, you can find on Bears Hour Live, where they compared Trubisky to Deshaun Watson, they being Phil and Lauren Cox. Excellent analysis, and you guys showed me that Watson can make those deep throws, but I just still have some concerns about him, which is why I don't think that if Watson falls to number three, I don't think that the Bears will take him. But based on what you just presented, the case for the Bears selecting Watson, I would be less surprised now if that did happen. It's a solid pick, but I've got the Bears. Here was the big question for me. I narrowed it down to three players. I narrowed it down to Jonathan Allen, Solomon Thomas, and Jamal Adams. Those three guys are still available on my board. And while I was leaning a little bit towards Solomon Thomas because of the flexibility of what Vic Fangio could do with him, and again, because of what you have said in our previous podcast together, where you talked about you win at the line, you draft there first. If you've got a choice between, you know, a rusher or a defensive back, and so I was leaning that way, but my heart says that Jamal Adams is going to be an ultra special player. We're seeing the safety position evolve into something different, where they're not leaving the field, where they're being asked to play in the box, they're being asked to guard tight ends, they're being asked to guard wide receivers, they're being asked to play center field, they're being asked to do all of these different things. And I think that Jamal Adams plus his leadership skills just makes him so difficult to pass up in today's NFL. And I think that because this draft is so deep at safety and at lineman, you can almost, you know, you can almost flip-flop. You can say, well, we'll take Thomas now and then take a safety later, or vice versa. It's a tough pick, and I'll probably change my mind, especially after hearing your next presentation on a player. But I just feel it's going to be Jamal Adams. Let me ask you this, Phil, a hypothetical. Let's say the scenario does play out the way I presented it, and Deshaun Watson is picked by the San Francisco 49ers, or even goes as Jose Cotto predicted in his mock draft, first overall to the Cleveland Browns. So Watson is off the board. Who then do you choose for the Chicago Bears?
I'm taking Solomon Thomas, and I believe that's what you should do, because he's going to help a injured linebacker core and front get after the quarterback. And ultimately, when you have Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers, who delay passing potential plays all the time, you need guys with motors and athleticism and tenacity. Solomon Thomas and Leonard Floyd being young building blocks with Akeem Hicks, who I did a tape study on in the doctor's office, Aldo, combining them all together, mixing in some of the older guys and Willie Young. We don't know where Lamar Houston's future is. If it is with the Bears, then you look at Pernell McPhee, who just won the Ed Block Award. You can't have enough guys to get after the football in a 3-4 defense. And ultimately, when you look at this guy, is he a better potential football player than what you have? In my mind, he is. And I believe his combination with a Leonard Floyd and his ability to go inside where Floyd can't dominate like that is what would bring this defensive front seven to an a high, high level, and that's how you build a football team. It starts up front. It's kind of cliche, but cliche is real here, and I would definitely roll with my boy Solomon Thomas. I think him and Garrett are generational football players. I said that, tweeted it out. We can go backtrack it. Generational type talents don't come around when you're up this high. You can't miss with a Cedric Benson. You can't do that anymore. You gotta hit with these guys. And Solomon Thomas, to me, would be an absolute hit in Chicago.
Well, there it is. The jury is now looking at me and saying, "You're fucked, dude. This guy, this guy just made a better case than you did." I might end up switching to Solomon Thomas, but I'm going to hold tight to Jamal Adams, and then we'll move on to the fourth pick of the draft, which belongs to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who do you got going to the Jags?
Jonathan Allen, Alabama, defensive lineman, five tech, ferocious football player at the point of attack. You know, he's not an elite pass rusher, Aldo, but he is a get after it type of football player. I mean, early on in the thing, early on in the process, we'll say, draft Twitter and draft Knicks alike, just this is a plug and play guarantee, maybe the top player in the whole draft. He was talking about this football player. To me, he compares favorably his movement skills to a Fletcher Cox, a guy I put in the versus Kyle Long, shameless plug, in the doctor's office. Inside, got that quickness. I really believe he could play inside out. He's got great hands, a great hand guy who can control with his forearms and just flex people and get after the football. Excellent athletic ability. I'm trying to think of some of his numbers. I know he ran a 5.40, which is making people worry. He's a defensive lineman. His quickness, his strength at the point of attack, his ability to diagnose, his strong edge. He has enough speed to get down and close. I love this football player. I wouldn't be surprised if he's high on Ryan Pace's board. This kid to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
My main concern with Jonathan Allen are those shoulder injuries. The Bears cannot afford to have a less than 100% healthy player as their first-round draft pick in 2017, given what's happened to Kevin White, given now the concussion concerns with Leonard Floyd. We need a more sure pick, and that's why out of those three players that I had considered for the Bears with this third pick, Jamal Adams, Solomon Thomas, and Jonathan Allen, I had Allen at number three. I think he could be an excellent fit for Vic Fangio's defense. I think he can do some incredible things. But I'm just a little bit hesitant about gambling this high a draft pick on a guy who's got this torn labrum situation. He's had some other shoulder issues. The doctors have said it's not going to be an issue. He should be able to have a fruitful, long NFL career, but I'm just still a little gun-shy about it. So instead, we know that Tom Coughlin is the executive vice president of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he has stated that he wants this team to improve its toughness, and also he wants to help the running game. Well, who better than to improve the team's toughness and improve the running game than Leonard Fournette? I don't necessarily like taking running backs that high, but I think this is a very special football player. He would be coached by the running backs coach over at Jacksonville is Tyrone Wheatley, who knows a little bit about playing with some muscle behind himself. And so I think he would be an excellent fit for the Jaguars. He would help out that Jaguars team offense tremendously. They desperately need a running game to help Blake Bortles go from C to B, because he's long far away from being an A quarterback. And while this team desperately needs some help on the offensive line, and this is not a great draft for offensive linemen, I don't think that you reach for an offensive lineman with the fourth pick. Instead, you reach for a guy that can break tackles from the running back position. It's Leonard Fournette. That's who I got going to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Number one running back on my board.
I noticed that. I noticed that he's number one on your board. And again, you can catch Phil's rankings of players at BearsHourLive.com. All right, let's move to the Tennessee Titans. Who do you got them picking with their fifth pick of the draft? With the fifth pick of the draft.
Well, the Tennessee Titans, if you remember, played the Chicago Bears, and one Josh Bellamy was tearing their secondary a new ass.
Yeah.
So when I look at that, despite his drops, El Jefe, you know, the fact of the matter is the Titans need a cornerback. Marshawn Lattimore is the best cornerback in the draft on my board. This past Sunday, we had your senior analyst, Jose Dos Pesos Cotto, on Bears Hour Live, the podcast live show. And we both agree that this is the only corner I think you could see going in the top 10 of this draft. And I think Tennessee would do themselves justice by getting the best one I've scouted in the last few years.
Well, and yeah, and let me make another plug for Bears Hour Live. That podcast you can find on that new BearsHourLive.com. We also have it posted at BearsBarroom.com. That podcast, as well as the last several that I've listened to, Bears Hour Live, are just hitting it out of the park. They've had some experts from Pro Football Focus as guests. Two out of the last 4 weeks, I believe. They had Jose Cotto last week. And just Lauren and Phil just bring it very, very smart analysis, good debates. It's a must-listen-to show. All right, let me get to my pick here with the Tennessee Titans. I like your pick, by the way. I think Lattimore is going to be a special football player. I don't think this hamstring concern is too much of a big issue. I don't expect it to make people shy away. But nonetheless, I don't have the Titans picking Lattimore. Instead, I have them taking Solomon Thomas. Just as an aside, General Manager John Robinson, he was with the Tampa Bay Bucks when they drafted Mike Glennon and Jonathan Banks, two present Bears. But he also picked Mike Evans and Jameis Winston when he was with the Bucks, and he was their director of player personnel. So he was basically having a huge influence on who was drafted there. And then last year in his first draft with the Titans, he chose offensive tackle Jack Conklin. And I think now he's going to go to the defensive line and choose Solomon Thomas. The defensive coordinator over there is legendary Dick LeBeau. He really helped that defense improve and wants to take it to the next step in 2017. And one of the things he has said is that he wants to introduce some more complicated schemes. And again, I mentioned this before about Solomon Thomas. He's just a super smart player. There's nothing that's going to keep him on the bench. He's going to study that playbook. He's going to understand what LeBeau wants to do. He's going to get on the field and execute it. I think it's a excellent pick for the Titans, for LeBeau, and Solomon Thomas going at number five. So those are the first five picks of the draft. Let's move now to number six. The New York Jets are on the clock. Phil, who are you picking for them?
And with the sixth pick, the New York Jets select from the Ohio State University. Free safety, Malik Hooker. That young man, Malik Hooker. I know you know your boy, the mailman's a big fan of this football player. Mm-hmm. So am I. I believe he compares favorably to Ed Reed. He's just an outstanding instincts at the free safety position, will help the New York Jets get turnovers. I know you could question maybe a quarterback here, but I feel as though the value of this football player, they missed with Calvin Pryor. They seem to be trying to rebuild. They've let go of Darrell Revis. This kid is hyper aware, understands what's coming in front of him. I love the way he challenges quarterbacks, reads their eyes. He's just a lurker in the secondary that's looking for turnover the football. At 6'1", 206 pounds, Malik Hooker to the Jets.
Yeah, I actually got around late to studying this guy's film, and finally when I did, I just was super impressed. I could see why you guys love this guy so much. Yet, having said that, I do have him falling out of the top 10 in my draft, and even lower than many people, I think, have on their boards. I think that the Jets here have to go with one of the top quarterbacks in this draft. I think that they signed Josh McCown basically to tutor their next future franchise quarterback, and that quarterback, I don't believe that this quarterback is deserving of being chosen so high and deserving of being the second quarterback chosen. But from everything I hear, the Jets have their eye on Mitchell Trubisky, and that's who I think will go at number six. And I think it will be a good home for him. I do think that McCown can do a great job at tutoring Trubisky, and by the middle of the season, late in the season or so, Trubisky will get in there. He will know his stuff, and he will start to lay down the seeds of promise for hopefully a good NFL career. But I'm not totally sold on him, but I am sold on the fact that the Jets have to address this quarterback situation, so I've got them picking Trubisky. All right, who do you have going to the new team out in L.A., the Los Angeles Chargers?
The Los Angeles Chargers select with the 7th pick from Alabama, tight end O.J. Howard. Listen, I honestly have stated this over and over, Aldo. I can make a serious case for the Chicago Bears to shock the world and draft this guy at 3. There's not a bone in my body. Not, you hear me talk. These aren't tweets that I can delete in a year, Aldo. That's one thing we got to say about the boys at the bar room, Bears Hour Live. We talk and say these words, not 140 characters, but we do both. And I'm backing this up. This kid at 6'6", 255 pounds, moves like Jagger. Kid can get in and out of the breaks, catch the football, high point the football. He's a monster. And he could do both. He's not the greatest blocker, but he's no slouch. He's no Paulson out there. I mean, I see a kid that can – you have a Hall of Fame tight end in San Diego passing the torch. What better way to O.J. Howard taking over, helping Phillip Rivers – getting exciting offensive weaponry in L.A. You know those fans out there in a soccer stadium are going to need to get excited about something. I look at this guy. He came out of high school as an elite athlete, and he never shied away from that kind of pressure. He is an elite tight end, and he's the closest that I ever ranked to Tony Gonzalez, who the Bears, by the way, could have had an opportunity to draft, but they traded for Rick Meyer that year. And tight end was a need because they ended up drafting John Allred.
Oh, my God.
So that'll give you that. O.J. Howard to L.A., the Chargers.
Oh, man, there you go again, making a better case for the player that you've selected for for the team up. And I just am not going to do that good of a job. Actually, the only argument I got is that Jonathan Allen has fallen to number 7, and the Chargers just can't pass him up. They have a need. They have several needs on defense, including the defensive line. So I think the general manager over there, Tom Telesco, is from the Bill Polian school of drafting. He was with the Colts when they drafted Peyton Manning, and then went ahead and built an offensive line and defensive line on that team. I think he's going to do the same thing with the Chargers here in what I think is his second season with the Chargers. So I've got Jonathan Allen going to the Chargers. Who do you have going 8th to the Carolina Panthers?
Well, that would be a great pick for the Chargers if he fell and they were able to land him. That would just be a Ozzie Newsome-esque that falls into your lap, yeah, pick for the Chargers. For Carolina, I have at the number 8 pick, the Carolina Panthers take Barnett out of Tennessee.
Yeah, Derek Barnett.
Derek Barnett. Thank you. Derek Barnett going to the Carolina Panthers. They have a need at defensive end. They re-signed their old timers. They're trying to re-catch fire with Julius Peppers and Johnson there. Why not add a great talent? I mean, this kid's a champion at hand fighting and getting home. I love the way he attacks with his punch, and he wins. And that's something I really was challenging to me to look at these defensive edge guys, especially with this guy, because I really like Solomon Thomas, and I had to tame myself to not just favor him. And this guy is like really close to that grade that I have on Thomas and Garrett. He's just one of the most productive defensive linemen to come out of the SEC. You see the awareness, you see the skills, you see the ability to get home. I'm a big fan, and I think Carolina cannot pass up this guy's ability to get after the passer. Not in that Tampa cover two. Rotate him in. So, you know, they traded Coney Ealy to the Patriots. Here they're able to get a young talent to be tutored by Charles Johnson and Julius Peppers. I think it would be a great pick for Ron Rivera.
Yeah, I gotta agree that this guy is perfect for Ron Rivera's scheme. For the 4-3, I think he played all of his three seasons at Tennessee from the right defensive end position. So he'll step in there and grow quickly. That's a great landing spot for him, and for the Panthers to land him is an excellent pick. I do have Rivera choosing Marshawn Lattimore because, again, it's an outstanding player who has fallen more than he should have, and the Panthers' defense last year had a tough time reacclimating themselves to the loss of Josh Norman. I don't think that they anticipated that his loss would have such a negative impact on their defense, because it, you know, as you've rightly stated, everything starts up front, and but they noticed that there were some deficiencies up front. But nonetheless, with Lattimore falling to number 8, I think it's going to be really difficult for Ron Rivera to say, let's bypass him and go defensive line. I think it's Lattimore. What do you think about that?
I would absolutely, if he's on the board, Carolina has to react like a Lattimore does on the outside and get after him. It's a good pick, especially, and never say never. These guys could fall. Where they're talked about now obviously never happens. I can challenge myself and hundreds of other, anyone listening, to see if you could predict and get it all right. I've never done it. The closest I got was 16. That was the most I got correct, and I forget what year that was, but it is not easy to see how these teams see these players.
Yeah, I don't think I've even gotten half of 16. All right, with the 9th pick, it's the Cincinnati Bengals being called up to the podium. Who do you have?
Well, Cincinnati has a need inside, and this football player falls in their laps. I know the boys, in looking at their Twitter draft, I was laughing because we all are on the same page, and that's Mr. Foster, Reuben Foster out of Alabama, falling into the laps of the Cincinnati Bengals. He just fits the part there. He just understands how to get after that run game with physicality. I mean, we're talking about a punishing tackler, and he has that alpha dog mentality. This coach has been there forever. It's like he's
got pictures of the owner doing something.
Yeah, you know, he's never going to get fired, and he likes a certain type of player. I believe that this guy could play inside at Mike or outside linebacker in their defense And I honestly compare him to Luke Kuechly. You know, he's that kind of, I think he has a lot more swagger than Kuechly does, but he's gifted. And I just feel as though, you know, they let go of their former linebacker there, Ray Malaluga.
Right.
This guy's going to step right in and become that alpha dog in the middle and really continue the rise of that Bengals defense.
Solid pick. Yeah, if he's going to go to an NFL franchise and they're going to kind of tame his temperament, because he does need a little bit of that, Cincinnati is probably the ideal spot for him. I do have the Bengals choosing Derek Barnett for a lot of the same reason you mentioned, him going earlier to the Panthers. And additionally, the Cincinnati Bengals GM, whose name is escaping me right now, he has been quoted as saying that he hopes to find two pass rushers in this draft because the team has such an overwhelming need for pass rushers. And so Derek Barnett is the top pass rusher on the board that I have after Allen and Solomon Thomas are gone, and of course Myles Garrett. According to Pro Football Focus, Derek Barnett had more quarterback pressures than any other college football player in 2016. So he's kind of a no-brainer going to the Bengals there. But I agree with you that if the Bengals choose Reuben Foster at linebacker, it's a hell of a pick, and I think you'll find a nice home there.
Absolutely. Great pick. I completely understand the fit and the take.
All right. At pick number 10, and we're going to your neck of the woods.
Buffalo's going to the Super Bowl.
Now, how far away is Buffalo from your hometown, from where you live?
It's far.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
It's about 10-hour ride. Eight-hour ride.
You ever been to a game down there?
I have not. I've been to Buffalo. I've had the wings, and I've gone to Niagara Falls. I actually proposed at Niagara Falls.
Wow.
My beautiful wife, yep. And we stopped in Buffalo, but I've never gone to the stadium per se, no, for a football game.
Well, then, who is it that you've got for the Buffalo Bills with the 10th pick of the first round?
A natural-born leader of men. Your boy, Jamal Adams. Listen, I understand the intangibles that this football player brings to the table, but there's something that you can't chart, and that's just instincts and will. And this guy has both of them. I understand why, Aldo, you love this football player, and many other people will when he's in the NFL, because he understands his role and he'll go after it. He sees it. He will not back down. He steps right into the role, will fill the alley versus any running back, and he can play both safeties positions, I believe. I know PFF Josh Liskowitz even thought he could be a corner. I don't see that, but I do see that he is a better than advertised. Again, I think this kid's overanalyzed, and I don't think it's stated enough by myself that sometimes you just got to draft football players. And in this case, this guy's the identity. If the definition of football players in the dictionary, his picture's next to it. I really love this pick for Buffalo. They need an identity, and he'll bring it as a rookie.
Great pick for the Buffalo Bills. You've got Jamal Adams, my guy, going there. I have Reuben Foster, who you had going at number 9 to the Bengals. The Bills have a number of needs, but I kind of think that maybe they're thinking about reuniting these former teammates, Reggie Ragland and Reuben Foster from Alabama, together, and solidifying that inside linebacker position for the next 10 years or so. Again, this is a tough one to pick because they need help at wide receiver, at cornerback, but the inside linebacker position for this team is in dire need of help. So I see Foster going there to the Bills. All right.
Great pick.
Thank you. Now we are about 50 minutes into the show, and we've gotten through our top 10 picks, which is sort of what I anticipated was going to happen, and there's a few other things that I want to do besides go through our mock drafts. So what I'd like to do now, Phil, is quickly go over the rest of your picks and also let our listeners know that all of our picks for the first round will be up at bearsbarroom.com on Wednesday morning so that you can see them in detail there. But let's quickly go through Phil's mock draft for the rest of the draft. At 11, you've got the Saints picking my big running back, Leonard Fournette. Tell me the thinking there.
Listen, this guy is everything you want to help a quarterback. He will go downhill, attack it. He's more fluid and athletic than people are giving him credit for. You had him up at 4 with the Jags. I wouldn't even question that pick because he's so dynamic. I mean, this kid had over 1,000 yards after 4 games. I think he had 1,500 yards after 5 games in 2015. He was unfortunately injured last year. There's 8 and 9 in the box consistently. You know, to expect that kind of numbers again was ridiculous. For me, there's no questioning he is going to help Drew Brees out and give Sean Payton the ability to do what he loves to do, and that 7-step drop off of action and throw the football down the football field. Fournette would be a dynamic choice for the Saints.
At number 12, oh my gosh, you've got Patrick Mahomes going to the Browns. He and Myles Garrett will be the first round picks for the Cleveland Browns. And can you say the chance for a dynasty here? I mean, if these draft picks pan out for the Browns, they could be building something super. Clearly, Mahomes is a surprise, though, for some, because you've got him ahead of Kaiser. Tell me why you have him ahead of Kaiser of the top 4 quarterbacks coming into this draft.
Well, in my, I don't know, 30 years now of doing these types of draft coverage since I was 13 years old. So now you know how old I am. I've never moved a quarterback or a top 5 that I can remember up from where I got them in January. This football player, to me, I fell in love with him. And I'm the first one to admit it after looking at it as we talked, Phil, off the edge of saying, listen, the footwork can be fixed. There's no questioning that. That's the one thing. The arm you can't create that. And his arrogance is not a bad thing to me because every quarterback should have that swagger and sign me up for it. When you hear the young man talk, as you said, he's a pleasant guy. He's just confident and comfortable at what he does. And throwing the deep ball and hitting it on target and on time, yes, he probably will need a little time to marinate the NFL processing. But I'm not going to be surprised if this kid's out on the football field week 3 or 4 because I feel as though I think this kid can do things that others can't. He has the ability to improvise, stress defenses, and then throw it over the top. I mean, we see that up north in Green Bay. This football player can throw with the best of them. He's accurate on touch, on time. We're doing a film room on this football player. Cleveland Browns need this kind of change. They tried to do it with Manziel. People comparing this player to Manziel aren't fooling themselves. Manziel, I loved, but this isn't the same kind of mental issues we're talking about here. This kid is confident, and he's got the ability to do it. I like him in comparison to Big Ben Roethlisberger. Now they get their Roethlisberger and Mahomes to compete, and I just believe Hugh Jackson will untap everything you need out of this football player, and it's just a match made in heaven come draft day.
Well, you mentioned Hugh Jackson, and what he's done with young quarterbacks is something to keep in mind here. In 2008, Jackson tutor Joe Flacco, who became the first rookie quarterback to win two playoff games. And I don't think the Cleveland Browns are going to the playoffs in 2017, but Hugh Jackson, it could be the perfect coach for a Patrick Mahomes and tutor him into being a top-notch NFL quarterback. I love the pick. And then you've got the fourth quarterback chosen in your first-round mock. It's DeShone Kizer going to the Arizona Cardinals. So all four quarterbacks are off of your board. No, I take that back. Trubisky is still on there. My apologies. So three quarterbacks are off the board and the top 13 picks. Clearly, you've got Kizer going in to be an understudy to Carson Palmer for a year and then taking over. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I just think this young man, I think the Arizona Cardinals really would have liked Mahomes, but this is not a bad choice, plan B. I think that he comes in there, learns under Carson Palmer, and then eventually passes the torch. This kid is a big football player, has good arm, good anticipation throwing. You see all the dramatics and everything that's going on with Notre Dame and the coach throwing the kid under the bus. You know, I think the kid has a world of talent. He's a game breaker. I mean, he could run. He could do a lot of the things that you look at Cam Newton, Jose Cotto, Bears Barroom talked about, getting in those goal line situations, allowing this football player to run those quarterback leads. He can do a lot of things for an offense that likes to go action game deep downfield. And we all know we missed out on Bruce Arians here in Chicago. Now they get their young gun in Kizer in Arizona.
Then you've got, with the 14th pick, the Philadelphia Eagles choosing Forrest Lamp. He is projected to be a guard, although some people have him at tackle. Where do you have him playing in this Eagles lineup?
This is a left tackle. They could put him at right tackle. They have an older offensive line. I don't think you sleep on 6'4". It's just dumb to me. I think it becomes someone saying it, and then it becomes gospel. To me, he's so athletic. He's my number one ranked offensive tackle in the draft. The four-year starter. He's got the length, everything, and the athleticism to do it, the hand punch, everything I liked about Kyle Long coming out, I'm seeing in this football player. I mean, he could dunk a basketball. He's athletic. He might not be fat or heavy, but his size is what you're looking for when you want an athlete in this kind of offense that they run to be able to get out in the screen game and the quick screens and those little counter plays that they run with Sproles and the quick screen game, everything you want. I think Lamp will be able to give their offense, as well as protect a young quarterback. And Jesus Christ, how do I forget his name?
Carson Wentz.
Thank you. Carson, and protect a young quarterback in Carson Wentz. Everything you want there. They get their guy, a left tackle. They have a need on the offensive line. They could put him inside at first with the ultimate decision to put him out at tackle.
All right, and then moving forward to the 15th pick of the first round, the Indianapolis Colts are up, and you have them choosing Christian McCaffrey, who is one of your favorite players in this draft. Is that safe to say?
Absolutely. You know, Christian and your boy there, Andrew Luck, reunite the Stanford Cardinal backfield. I don't even know if they played together, to be honest, off the top of my head. But the Cardinal comes to Indianapolis, and they get a potential game breaker that could be used all over their offense. You look at their new GM, Ballard, former Bears college guy, scout. He was in the running to be the Bears GM. I think he values game-breaking ability. This kid's more talented to me than Reggie Bush was, interior running, as well as being able to catch and run routes. I mean, if you're getting that dynamic threat down the field for Andrew Luck, that's what he needs, and I feel like McCaffrey is a game-breaker, and that would do a huge service to help that offense out.
Yeah, I look at him, seeing him in a coach uniform, he could be a, and I don't mean this in a demeaning way, but he could be a poor man's Marshall Faulk, in that he's got that versatility of running with the ball. He can run 15 to 20 times with the ball. He can catch you 8 to 10 passes a game, just be an all everything. I'm not sure he is as good at absorbing hits as Marshall Faulk, which is probably why I list him as a poor man's Marshall Faulk, but he can definitely have a huge impact on that offense. I think it's a great pick for the Colts. Now, at number 16, another interesting pick for draft Dr. Phil, one of his favorite players in this draft, and who can argue with this guy's talent? It's Jabril Peppers going to Ozzie Newsome's Baltimore Ravens. Why do you have Peppers going to the Ravens?
Listen, Ozzie knows football players. Ozzie honestly has these things fall into his lap. Athletic, fluid in space. Granted, they signed, people are going to say, fulfill. They signed your boy from the Cardinals, the safety, Tony Jefferson. They also got Weddle. Well, this kid could play corner. He can be the ultimate Swiss Army knife and return kicks and punts for the Baltimore Ravens, and then get in on defense and play nickel and be versatile enough to go out and switch with Weddle, go out to the free safety, move one of them down into the nickel. What this guy can do for Ozzie Newsome and the Baltimore Ravens is disrupt and be a defensive nightmare on other opposing teams. If the goal is to beat New England, you got to find those hidden yards. I think the Ravens will get a steal with this football player. Will ultimately, he compares pretty well to Eric Weddle when he was coming out of college. I just love this football player. I just think it's a perfect fit for a team that understands how to use football players. Guess what, Aldo? The head coach, his brother, is the head coach at Michigan. They kind of talk, and I think the understanding of what this guy brings to the locker room and the field is going to be something special, and the Ravens, I think, will be looking back on this pick and be like, we really got ourselves a football player here.
In today's age of versatility and multidimensionality, Jabril Peppers could be what the doctor ordered, and is indeed what the doctor ordered for the Ravens. Now, if you think any of these first 16 picks that the doctor has put up on the board is a surprise, get ready for the biggest surprise. At 17 for the Washington Redskins, the doctor has Chris Godwin from Penn State going to the Skins. The first wide receiver off the board. Some people have him going as late as the third round, but Phil has him going 17th in the first round to Washington. Tell us why.
Listen, not the popular choice. I understand that, but when I look at the Redskins offense and you're losing Garcon, you lost your boy, Sean Jackson went down to Tampa. You're losing big-time players. You got a great tight end there that's able to work the slots, get deep in the secondary, but you need somebody else besides Terrell Pryor, who has 1 year as a receiver in production in Cleveland, to go along there. I think they look at the big play ability, the downfield threat that he can bring to the football field. I just feel as though this is a fit for them. He's my number one ranked wide receiver. I just stick to my guns and what I see on the tape. You know, I was choosing, to be perfectly honest, between him and Mike Williams, but I went Chris Godwin because I just feel as though the dynamic ability to help Cousins out down the football field is there. And when we look back on things, just like I had Alshon Jeffrey in the first round, I had him as a first round top notch receiver. He ended up going in the second round. That happens. But I'm sticking to my board and my guns here, and the fit is perfect for the Washington Redskins with Godwin.
Interesting pick. I could see this guy having sort of perhaps an Anquan Boldin type of career in the NFL. Very productive, as you said, over the past two seasons, 128 receptions, 16 touchdowns. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes. You've got him going to the Skins at number 17, and then with the 18th pick, you've got who going to the Tennessee Titans, their second first-round pick.
The Tennessee Titans go to Clemson and take Big Mike Williams, the wide receiver, just helping Mariota out in the red zone, giving him what they've been looking for and the ability to get deep, get high point football player that's not afraid to come down with the football. This guy has the height at 6'4", 218 pounds. You know, this kid is a rare, rare specimen. And I think the fit for me was what the Titans need, as opposed to the Redskins, really was Williams going and helping Mariota out in the middle of the field as well as the sidelines. He needs to be coached up a little bit on his routes, but the talent is there, and he's going to draw coverage and help the whole offense out.
Love the pick. Reminds me a lot of Alshon Jeffrey. He could be very productive. Team him up with Mariota. That could be really fun to look at. Then you've got the 19th pick. Tampa Bay Bucks choose Dalvin Cook. It's the third running back on your board, falling to the Bucks. Why is Cook a third of your top three running backs behind Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey?
This is a football player that has off-the-field issues. I think that's what drops him down on my board. He also flourishes in that zone, that gap scheme, and the Tampa Bay Bucks have drawn themselves to that with Cutter there. He has a darting style that I feel as though fit Tampa Bay. He'll push the other running back out of there, even though he came back and was playing stronger near the end there. But this kid's a very talented football player. He's got great footwork and balance. I just have McCaffrey over him because I think McCaffrey's a game breaker, a game changer. I think this kid is a home run hitter. There's no doubt about it, but that off the field stuff and everything that goes along with that, the character issues and his pass pro is not up to par at what I see if somebody is just willing to do it. He just doesn't give his whole 100% everything, but he is a very dynamic player, and this is a great fit for him, I believe, in Tampa, where he stays in Florida and will help that football team out.
I'm learning a lot from you, Doc, because that's almost point for point what I had about Dalvin Cook. I actually, though, have him falling out of my first round because of those character concerns. And you know what makes this draft even more interesting to me than some of the more recent ones is that a lot of top talented players here have had some off-the-field concerns, whether they're small ones or larger ones, like the Joe Mixon issue. But it's definitely going to have an impact on this draft as NFL general managers are becoming more and more politically correct. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, you can decide for yourself. But I do think that there's going to be some really good players falling to the second, third, fourth round because of character issues. Now, with the 20th pick of the first round, you've got the Denver Broncos selecting a guy who 6 months ago I had never even heard of him, but now he is probably the top or the second top offensive tackle coming out in this draft, Ryan Ramczyk from Wisconsin. Tell me why you love the guy.
Well, you look at this football player, I got to give full-on credit to colleague Lauren Cox because he was the guy who brought him to my attention. You're looking at an athletic, confident talent. What pushes him down is his injury, but he has the core strength, the ability to get up there and get after it. I mean, from what Lauren was telling me about some of the pre-injury tests he was taking, as far as strength and agility, he was off the board. I mean, balance, body control. And then you watch the tape, this guy down blocks and just absolutely moves people out of the way. He's just an awesome presence on the football field. I love the way he uses his hands. I love the way he keeps punch right inside and doesn't let anybody move. He really polished in his game. You know, it's a close 1A, 1B to me with him and Forrest Lamp. I just think Forrest Lamp's ceiling is a little bit higher, and the injury kind of pushed this guy down. But Denver needed an offensive tackle, and really this falls right into John Elway's lap, and they can praise Elway again.
I love the pick, and I agree with you. It was Lauren that first pointed it out to him. I think pointed him out to me in one of our Bears Barroom podcasts during the season. We were talking about offensive tackles, and I mentioned, yeah, it's not a good draft for offensive tackles, and Lauren interrupted me and said, Ryan Ramczyk, you may not have heard of him, and I haven't, but he is definitely a special young man, and I think that if those injuries are behind him, he might step in right away, become an instant plug-and-play player, and do really well at Denver. Now, with the 21st pick, you've got that second-year GM over in Detroit, Bob Quinn, who comes from New England. You've got him picking Taco Charlton, the big defensive end. Tell me what it is you like about Taco Charlton.
Yeah, shout out to Jose, 6 foot six, 277 pounds of force. I just love this guy's ability to use that length and those traits as a rusher. You know, he had a, I know he ran a 4.940, but all of the film shows me the flash, the instant reaction time off the snap, the ability to get home. He disrupts the pocket. And when you're looking at the guy from New England, they love those Big Ten players. They love the guys that are going to get after it. I think this is an ascending football player. I love the pick, even though it's going to Detroit. Mm-hmm. This is a guy I really like in this draft, like one of my favorite players to watch. I feel as though his length and his ability to rush the passer alone is going to help Detroit out, and they get a steal here with Taco Charlton.
It's a pick that makes tons of sense. They desperately need some pass rushing help. Ziggy Ansah had a poor season last year because of injuries. His contract, I believe, is up after the season, so they've got to make a big decision there. They've got a plan for the future. They need an immediate pass rushing help now. Taco Charlton makes a lot of sense. And this next player that you have going 22nd to the Miami Dolphins also makes lots of sense. A guy that I love a lot, a guy who is quickly going up draft boards, Haason Reddick, going to the Dolphins. Tell me what you like about Reddick.
Yeah, is there anybody who's risen higher than Reddick?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is a talented, explosive, quick, twitchy athlete who can honestly rush the passer on the outside. He doesn't have length. He's only 6'1", about 237 pounds. But I love the 10 and an eighth inch hands as he gets after people. I think he reminds me of Roosevelt Colvin in that he can go down and rush the passer. Mm-hmm. But he also is obviously going to go there, and he's going to end up playing inside. And he is instinctive to the football. I mean, what you saw him do in drills at the Senior Bowl was impressive. He sticks to the people. He sticks to tackles. It's just a great fit for them, and it's definitely someone they need there in Miami at that position.
Since he enrolled at Temple, what is it, 3-4 years ago, Haason Reddick added 50 pounds of muscle, and he has just become a super, super athlete. And I'm told that he's got excellent leadership skills. This guy, if he falls to the second round and the Bears are picking with the fourth pick of the second round, and if Reddick is there, which he won't be, but boy, you talk about running to the podium. The Bears better get there quick. Now, you've got the New York Giants picking up a tight end who I like a lot, this kid, Evan Engram from Mississippi. Wow, this guy got some potential. Tell me why you like him with the Giants.
I know a lot of people have Njoku going in the first round. I just have watched Kelly down in Ole Miss and use this football player in the way that you need to have that kind of football player run routes, get to the stem, separate like a wide receiver. This kid is a willing blocker. He will not back down from a street ball. I hate to say it, he reminds me of the murderer in New England when he was playing.
Hernandez.
Well, this kid really has the athleticism. I'd followed him for 2 years, 2.5 years now, recognizing that at some point this kid is going to be a supreme talent in the draft. And the Giants, with Eli Manning, have had a hard time finding that talent, using a whole slew of players after they had Martellus Bennett leave to play the tight end position. And Eli Manning loves to throw to the tight end. It's just a match made in heaven. I think he's more polished in what the Giants want to do in that West Coast philosophy. And it would just be a great surprise pick and fit for the New York, the G-Men, the New York Giants.
All right, and now with the Raiders, you've got probably the most fun guy to watch in this draft, the speedster Ross going to the Raiders. Of course the Raiders would pick the fastest guy in the draft, right? But the knocks on him is that he's just a one-year starter, but I know you've looked at the tape. You've got to be impressed by his route running, right?
Yeah, this kid is impressive. I mean, he reminds me of Steve Smith with the ball in the air. He just goes after it. But obviously the fastest guy to ever run the 40 in the draft at the combine. A kid is instant impact. The Raiders love that. He fits with Derek Carr. He opens up what you need down there. Because so you got Amari Cooper over there, Aldo. This guy is going to take the top off, allow Amari Cooper to do what he does and specialize in route running. Crabtree is not the type of guy that takes the top off. This football player, and I know they signed the kid from Buffalo, Goodwin, who's also a speedster. Right. But this kid is a polished route runner where Goodwin's just a fast guy. I think they can't pass on him. I almost took him with the Ravens up at 16, I believe. Where are they? Yeah, 16. Yeah. But they took Peppers. John Ross can get after it. I believe he'd help Carr out tremendously.
That would be outstanding to see Ross and Cooper together and Carr throwing to them. That could be the most explosive offense in the modern era. All right, you've got the Texans picking Mitchell Trubisky, the quarterback from NC State, and now all four quarterbacks are off the board. Why do you have the Texans picking Trubisky? That's a pretty obvious question. They're in dire need of a quarterback. But tell me what you like and don't like about Trubisky.
Well, you could see he's my fourth-ranked quarterback. I just, you know, he has a lot of talent. This whole group has talent. So when you hear that stuff, and we've been talking about that at the Bears Bar Room since January, about the narrative being that they don't like this quarterback class. They do this every year. They build you up to knock you down. And in this case, you're looking at the guy that can learn on the job, compete with a Savage, and really give them a potential starting quarterback. I like his arm talent. I like the ability to go through his progressions. The knocks on him was looking to the sideline all the time for the play. I know that's part of the college game, but I feel as though he did a good job in the pocket, and recognizing blitzes is going to be his big hiccup, and that is for rookies, where he doesn't have as much experience, and that's where you're going to need to see it.
All right. Okay, with the 26th pick, the Seattle Seahawks have picked Kevin King, according to Draft Dr. Phil. Phil, tell me why you like King there.
Well, we talked about him with Senor Jose Cotto at Bears Hour Live. Both of us thought he really fit the Chicago Bears philosophy and scheme. This football player at 6'3", 200 pounds, he becomes dynamic in the red zone. He's got great times, a 39.5-inch vert, 4.43, 6.56 cone, 3.89 second 20-yard shuttle. Those kind of times and those traits and the philosophy that they use out there with the Legion of Boom, he'll fit right in Seattle.
It's a great pick. I like it. And I also like this next pick. The Kansas City Chiefs are in need of a partner in crime for Marcus Peters at cornerback, and you've got them taking Tre'Davious White, the LSU cornerback. Tell me about White.
Yeah, White is a very good football player. He understands leverage game. I love how he reacts to the football in the air. He's was pushing to be my number two corner. I couldn't pass him up here. I just think White fits the philosophy there, can be the opposite corner. They lost a few corners. This guy comes in, full-time starter for 4 years out of LSU. He mirrors everybody coming into game. He's got everything you want, the footwork. He can play special teams. He's not afraid to come up and support the run. I know he's 5'11", perfect for their philosophy out there. This would be a great pick for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I like it. I like that pick a lot there. Now, at 28 for the Dallas Cowboys picking, you've got Garrett Bowles, the big offensive tackle from Utah. Tell me why you have Dallas, who has one of the best offensive lines in football, grabbing a tackle so high up in the draft.
Well, you look at them, you got the retirement of Doug Free. You got to have to rotate their offensive line. I feel as though the value of this athlete can't go past what they build on, and that's they've been being smart by building up that offensive line. You got a couple leaks. You got Doug Free leaving. Here's a perfect way to get a superior athlete. I mean, this guy's athletic traits are off the charts, and his fluidity at the position. He's my number three ranked offensive tackle, and right here, I believe the Dallas Cowboys would hit a home run in replacing the potential loss over there with this athlete in Bowles.
Hard to argue with that. They've got some needs elsewhere, but with offensive linemen being in short supply in this draft, to grab Garrett Bowles in the first round makes total sense, and then address some of those other needs elsewhere in the draft where there's more depth. Now, at 29, you've got the Green Bay Packers picking one of my favorite players in this draft, Obi Malafonwu. Now, I disagree with this pick because I think they've got a couple of guys at Green Bay. Marwin Evans and Kentrell Bryce are the backup safeties to HaHa Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett. And they're really high on Evans and Bryce. Now, the reason I could see Malafonwu going to the Packers is that Ted Thompson doesn't give a crap about what his depth chart looks like. He's going to look at the best player available. And if Malafonwu is there, I can definitely see him going to Green Bay. Tell me why you love this guy.
Well, let me tell you, I was struggling with giving Green Bay, Wisconsin Badger TJ Watt and Melifonwu. Those were my choices in my head and looking at the two. But the superior ceiling for Melifonwu with his ability, some teams look at him that he could play cornerback. And if Dom Capers has the ability to put a big time 6'4" athletic freak on the football field where they use those, I call them cat call defenses where they're all standing and not giving you a formational look. This guy can be a part of their defensive philosophy. He can push to play free safety or play corner in their defense, but ultimately he gives you a dynamic athlete on the defensive side of the football, and I think they would serve themselves well in getting this football. I hate to do it because the sky's the limit for this football player, but I had to go in all honesty with who I thought had the higher ceiling in that choice. Maybe Packer fans will be upset that I didn't take in-state TJ Watt, but I took Melifonwu.
That's a great pick. That guy, wherever he plays, he's going to be a freakish superstar, in my opinion. And we might see him even go in the top 15 picks the way this kid's rep is climbing up the draft boards. Now, at number 30, you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers picking Charles Harris, the defensive end from Mizzou. Tell me why you like the two-time All-SEC pick.
Listen, this guy is an underrated edge rusher. Obviously, he's caught fire near the end. I know the mailman, lead analyst at Bears Barroom, and I have talked about this football player, and he really loves this guy. He gets after it, and he has a motor, and I would not be surprised. The Steelers have a need They need that kind of agility on the edge. I think this guy goes into Pittsburgh and fits their philosophy of what it is they want to do in that defense that they're trying to switch to. I think he gives them a great attitude at the defensive end spot.
Yep. According to Greg Gabriel, who likes him also, he had 9 sacks, 12 tackles for a loss, and 61 total tackles last year. So that this guy is ready to step into a starting lineup and contribute right away.
Speaking of Greg Gabriel, I got a little teaser for those still listening in. This next Sunday, Greg Gabriel will be joining me and Lauren on Bears Hour Live.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Woohoo. Another one to circle and make sure you subscribe to Bears Hour Live on Google. All of you can go to the bearshourlive.com and see where the subscription process through that. It should be on your feed because it's must listening. Now, with the 31st pick, you've got the Atlanta Falcons picking McKinley. And I'm going to struggle with the pronunciation of his first name, but I'll call him by his short name, Tack McKinley. The 6'2", 260-pound edge rusher. Why do you like him going to Atlanta?
Atlanta needs help pass rushing. I believe that will help their whole defensive out. You look at what they did against the New England Patriots. They couldn't close the game out. You saw players get tired. Here's a guy that can come in, offset their other outside linebacker. Many fans wanted him to be a Chicago Bear and really bring that pass rush to a high level and continue. He just fits what the philosophy is that the coach loves out there, Coach Dan Quinn, and it's getting after the quarterback. He can be the opposite edge rusher, creating a firestorm at the quarterback.
Excellent pick. Now, the Saints, who picked last in the trade with New England, they pick up Chris Wormley, the 3-year starter. He's a 6'4", 300-pound defensive tackle, but he played a lot of left end and right end. I think actually he played more at end in college. Why do you like Wormley going, finishing off your first round?
One of my favorite football players in this draft. Just see him going to New Orleans and being what it is that they need inside, and he could play defensive end. He's big. He's athletic. He's still growing into his body, and he's just a outstanding watch on tape. Last year, me and Lauren Cox were watching Michigan football, I mean in 2015, last year, not 2016, and I said, this guy is unblockable. You know, Michigan used him a lot inside. I feel as though he can help you outside more. I feel like he is just scratching the surface of what he's going to be. If he could fall a few more picks, I would not hesitate to see him in a Bears uniform. I think he's going to be a superstar in the NFL.
Well, we have put in 10 pounds of stuff into a 5-pound bag or so, whatever the saying is. And we've got still some questions from some of our Twitter followers that I wanted to get to. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Phil these questions and then include them in a podcast that I've got scheduled for later in the week. So we'll take care of that. But before we sign off, I would like Phil to talk a little bit about this week's installment of The Doctor's Office and who he is focusing on this week.
Well, Aldo, you put me to the task. I'm looking at Bears players, and really, obviously, if you follow me on Twitter, at FullPhilO, you know how I feel about this football player. I believe he's an elite talent on the Chicago Bears, playing in the wrong position, but he could play any position and help you. And I really took to the tape to look at Kyle Long and showcase all his traits and where he will best help the Chicago Bears, inside or out. It was a great course to take, and going into the doctor's office looking at Kyle Long this week.
I've already looked at the tape, and let me tell you, folks, you're not going to be disappointed with Phil's analysis on Kyle Long and how he projects him to be an outstanding tackle, but also just clearly points out his gifts as an offensive lineman no matter what position he plays. He truly is an outstanding athlete and one of the really great things that Phil Emery left us with before he was fired and thrown out of town. Phil Atoshin, you have been so generous with your time. I know you've got a lot of things going on with your business, professional, personal life, tons of stuff going on, and you just go out of your way to help out the Bears Barroom. And I can't thank you enough, and I can't recommend enough to our fans to go over to the new website, BearsHourLive.com. It's where you're going to find the storehouse for all of the work that Lauren Cox and Phil Atoshin are doing with their exciting new enterprise. It's just a fabulous idea to have this stuff at our fingertips. Greatly appreciate your time, Phil. Thank you very much for being a part of the show.
Absolutely. I appreciate all the love and support from all the followers and Bears Barroom.
And all you listeners out there, remember, if you drink, please don't do so responsibly, and always bear down. Jump in the Cadillac. Girl, let's put some miles on it. Anything you want, just to put a smile on it. You deserve it, baby, you deserve it all. And I'm gonna give it to you. Gold jewelry, shining so bright. Strawberry champagne on us. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like.